Well, would you consider, I guess, if that was what you wanted to do, if a person was damaged, was engaged in contact that resulted in the conviction at the time of the, you know, and, I mean, I'm not sure how you, what the best place to put it in, Representative Bauman, but I'm just saying I'm not opposed to that clarification, although Representative Dix has some feelings on this, so I appreciate it. But the question is clarification of whether that the conduct at the time, were they convicted of that activity, and putting it, clarifying it in the statute. I think that appropriately reflects the discussion.
I don't think we came to a conclusion on it. It's a section that
I
posed more questions than we had answers for. The example was given of the college students who go out on a prank, and we had an extreme example where someone shoots a burglar, and that's okay. And then the second example was, well, what happens if a group of college students get together and they go out and steal a pig, and or they go out in an attempt to steal a pig, and there's a fence put up that electrocutes you, and in stealing the pig, one of the students gets electrocuted. What do you do in that situation? And that raised the question in my mind. And Representative Phillips, I think, I may not be properly reflecting his remarks, but he indicated that those students would be breaking the law and they shouldn't have any rights.
Well, I didn't say they shouldn't have any rights.
No, I mean, but in this instance, with regard to what we were talking about. Sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Were there amendments that Representative Bowen was going to propose? We're aware of.
His amendment takes out one sentence. That's the paragraph on page 9. I don't know why he would take out the paragraph on page 9. Do you know? Does anybody know? Where did he go?
I mean, Representative Bunn's presented his position as doing any darn thing we wanted, so I just take
Chairman,
that.
I can speak for myself. My position is that I have no amendments to this section, and the committee can proceed as it best determines.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix.
I know we all have commitments. I'm going to cancel mine right now. I was wondering if we could take a four-minute recess briefly. I've got to recharge my batteries.
I don't know if it's recharging, but I'm going to be busy in the battery shop also. Be in recess for 5 minutes.
Mr. Chair, I would, before we go any further, I would suggest to the committee that we work 20 minutes longer and close our business at 4 o'clock, that we resume our work as soon as the chair puts on the agenda the full committee to meet again, whenever that may be. I would assume Monday.
5 a.m. Sunday.
Won't be Sunday. The committee next week, as Lisa has been posted, that the full committee would meet at the call of the chair. I want to double check with our, to make sure that, I think we did already schedule, but we can adjust the schedule for, I think we had two subcommittees scheduled to meet Monday afternoon, so let me confer before I will try Monday morning to get the announcement out to all members.
Okay.
It's to the exact time.
Thank you. The reason for that motion is I think we've worked hard and diligently. I don't think anybody can say we're obstructing or holding up the process. We're the only committee that's met on a Saturday to date this session. The bill came over very late from the Senate. I think we were supposed to get it in. What was the date again, Mr. Chair? March 1st?
Well, March 1st was the first target.
And I don't think we're that far away from putting the package together, and I think that going home at 4 is reasonable for all members at this point.
Okay, well, unless there are any objections expressed, that'll be the guidance that the chair will follow. Representative Phillips, I believe, were there any other questions, comments, or amendments proposed to Section 10 relating to criminal conduct?
Well, I would just want to clarify one thing. If you've got a death involved, you can't, in my mind, require conviction to be a qualifier on whether that's a defense against the estate or something like that. I'll give you the example. What about the pig issue? The guy's fried and he died. I'm sorry.
Let's have Phillips.
He died. He got killed. He got whatever.
There was death involved.
There was death involved. DA's not going to prosecute that and get a conviction for the felony in that process. So there's some way, Representative Baum, to address your problem. You know, when in those cases that it would have occurred, would have been X felony. You know, I'm willing to look at that. That's to address.
Well, let me ask just for the record.
Baum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for, let me first, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move an amendment. I raised it as a friendly amendment. I think that the language that we intend, and I don't think that it subverts Representative Phillips' purpose here. The language on line 25, rather than would constitute, to read resulted in the person's conviction of. My concern is that the way it's currently written, there's no requirement that there be a charge. There's no requirement that there be a conviction. There's no clarification as to whether the allegation needs to be made by a police, a representative of some police agency, or whether it can simply be sort of thrown into the case as a defense.
Your chair.
There's no, if I could finish, there's no burden of proof. There's no presumption of innocence. I'm a little bit concerned at just kind of taking a wholesale process and wiping through some of those constitutional protections quite this rambunctiously.
Okay, so Representative Baum, could you state again your
on line
motion and amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On line 25 of page 8 of the -116 amendment, to delete the words would constitute and insert resulted in the person's conviction of.
Okay, Representative Bauman moves on line 25 of page 8 of the -116 amendments that we delete the words would constitute and substitute, again, Representative Bauman.
Resulted in the person's conviction of.
And substitute the language resulted in the person's conviction of.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bauman so moves. Representative Bellamy.
Well, I would oppose that, and I really think that the burden of proof is going to be upon the person that is being sued. And the person is being sued, if they're going to claim that this person was in the process of committing a felony or a class, the crimes listed, they're going to have to prove that before they can ever say, no, you can't sue me. So that person is always going to have their day in court, and they're always going to have their constitutional rights deal. But the minute you put conviction, many times there's not a conviction. Many times that might be settled out of court. And particularly where there's death involved, and it's a classic example, the individual stealing the pig and runs into the electric fence and is electrocuted, you're not going to then go back and convict that person of stealing your pig after he's dead just to prevent the family from suing you. I mean, and that's what the word convicted would mean. And my reading would be that the burden of proof falls on the person being sued, because then they're going to have to prove, if the DA has not proved or the state has not proved that person committed a crime, they're going to have to prove that the person committed a crime before they can then say, I'm sorry, but they can't sue me.
Representative Bellamy, Mr. Chair.
Representative
Bellamy, my problem with that is that then you take the role of the state in prosecuting felonies and you hand it to fairly select number of defendants without defining whether the standard approved or the constitutional protections apply to the person who's being charged.
I don't follow you at all. If my response...
Your comment was that the protection is there because before they could reach the threshold of a complete defense, there would have to be a conviction.
I would guess.
Would that be a conviction proved beyond a reasonable doubt?
My response would be that a conviction would be proved on the basis of the criminal standard. You're not going to try the person on a criminal case in civil court.
Would it be a conviction, as a separate matter conducted under the rules that apply to criminal prosecutions and resulting in the possible application of criminal penalties?
I agree.
Is that what you have in mind when you say there'd be a conviction before we got to the threshold of the defense?
No, I guess my response is that what I'm saying is that if a person was involved in a crime and they decided to sue, I'm sure then that in order for you to claim that you couldn't be sued, you're going to have to go back and get the case completed in the criminal court. I don't know how else you would do that. And that's where I see the protection. If there's a disagreement.
I agree with that point, and I really think, Mr. Chair and Representative Bellamy, although we're speaking as if there is a difference of opinion, I really think that that point goes to my amendment, which merely clarifies that there would be a conviction before that complete defense would become available. And I think that clarification will be helpful in as complex a series of changes as we're making.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, the clerk will call the roll on Representative Bauman's motion to amend line 25 on page 8 of the -116 amendments.
Bauman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
No.
Gunn?
No.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Until 4 o'clock.
10 more minutes, Mr. Chair.
No.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
No.
Springer?
Aye. Motion fails. Anything else on Section 10? Okay, if not, let's move on to Section 11.
This one?
No.
Okay. Frivolous actions. Page 9.
Speak. Frivolous actions in terms of litigation.
Frivolous actions in terms of litigation on page 9. It was the hopes and desires of Representative Dix and myself that we would incorporate Federal Rule 11 into the statute. That we would address the issue of filing, and in an action as frivolous, you could, in the same action, file back. In other words, if Representative Bellamy was to take an action against me, in that same action, I could make a counterclaim against him.
And he could counterclaim against you?
Well, that, of course, there's standards, and the judge would have to make some decisions, and we discussed this in subcommittee. And the reason I bring that up is because that was the contention. Some people alleged that would result in more litigation, and others said it would not. Just so that
strangely, there's a difference of opinion on that issue.
It's just amazing how that happened. At any rate, I'd be glad to entertain any questions.
Okay. The frivolous action portion is Section 11 and 12, I believe.
Yes.
Representative Bunn.
Chairman, in Section 12, I think in terms of procedure, it would be more effective to put Federal Rule 11 in the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure rather than the statute. And I really think that's a housekeeping thing. If the two developers of this proposal would concur, if that's the case, then Amendment 119 would do that in Section 12.
Okay, it's my understanding, Council can correct me, but that the Council on Court Procedures has already, as part of its recommendations, I believe, recommended Federal Rule 11 as part of changes to be made or recommended to our Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure. And unless we affirmatively countermand that action, then Federal Rule 11 will become part of the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure. I don't know if that affects the action, but I just thought we ought to clarify that for purposes of the record. Representative Bunn, did you want to make a motion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move. Well, I'd ask first the two preparers of this plan if they would have any objections.
Well, I would like to ask one question of the representative.
Representative Phillips.
Representative Bunn, is it my understanding that when you present this as housekeeping, that's a clarification? Versus, because if we put it in the statute, there's a problem with that, or it causes confusion, or
that's correct, Representative Phillips. What the legislature tried to do several sessions back was to take the rules and put them in a separate section and have a scheme of a group that reviewed and recommended to the legislature. So it would have the effect of still bringing Federal Rule 11 in. It would just bring it in what I view as a more appropriate place.
I guess just to explain why, Representative Bunn, to you, Mr. Representative Bunn, but both Representative Dix and myself felt that if it were in the statute itself, perhaps then the courts would give it some attention, as the legislature specifically said this is an important issue, or a more important issue. And could you address that part of it?
The courts would give it every bit as much weight in the Oregon Rules of Civil Procedure as they would in the statute.
I'm sure the council or parties would certainly not be reticent to draw the court's attention to that wherever it happened to be placed. I would agree with Representative Bunn on that.
Fine.
And Hanlon?
I just have to speak up again in main committee against the first part of the Section 11, not on the substance of anything else, but the fact that one would allow a counterclaim within the original civil proceeding and allow the counterclaim to also include a third-party complaint in all likelihood against the original person filing and their lawyer, therefore separating out their lawyer from themselves, because each get another lawyer, then each of those people within the original proceeding could counterclaim again and cross-claim against the original counterclaimant and that counterclaimant's lawyer. I just think that's absurdity within the litigation system. You're talking about a geometric progression of allowing people into court when you do that, encouraging litigation. I thought our purpose was to discourage overuse of the courts, and that part of the statute, although I don't agree with some of the rest of it, that part of it's just obscene.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Is Representative Bunn going to move something then?
Representative Bunn, if I fail to state your motion, shall I do so?
Sure.
Representative Bunn has moved that in lieu of Section 12 of the -116 amendments, we adopt Section 12 of the 119 amendments, which incorporates by reference and restates ORCP 17 as amended by promulgation December 13, 1986 by the Council of Court Procedures. Representative Bunn, so moves. So further discussion on that motion as it relates to that substitution language in Section 12. Representative Bauman.
I just wanted to make clear that we're talking about Section 12 and not Section 11.
That's correct. We're only focusing on the motion on Section 12 at this time. Further discussion? Any objection? If not, Representative Phillips.
It's clear from the discussion that Representative Hanlon and I disagree on the question of increased litigation, since it's equally clear to me that we're not going to be able to culminate the discussion today and perhaps ever in our interpretation of this, to be quite honest. Perhaps we could ask, at beginning on the hearing on Monday, we could have Kathleen Buffet up so that we can have... I can ask her some questions and maybe get some clarification to this issue, and if nothing else, clarify the record so that when we take the bill to the floor, if I'm successful in holding that firm, that at least will be part of the determination of this august committee.
We'll ask Ms. Buffet to be present. Representative Miller, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the subcommittee discussion, I think it was suggested that the bill which you had introduced, I believe 3071, which permits an attorney to appear as a witness, mm-hmm. member of the same firm, that might alleviate some of the difficulty to which Representative Hanlon referred. If there is a cross-claim, the plaintiff's attorney in the original action may find himself or herself as a potential witness in that cross-claim. Concern expressed, but would that then disqualify the original plaintiff's attorney? Suggested that perhaps your bill, and we didn't know the status of that bill on the Senate side.
I believe it passed.
Okay. If perhaps we could ask you, Representative Miller, to, if you can, just assist Representative Phillips in terms of, and with the advice of Ms. Buffet, as just to how, what that effect might be, and whether or not your just going to provide the relief that some suggest it may.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
It might. There might possibly be some effect if you have more than a one-person law firm. But I even doubt that. It surely won't affect the situation that Representative Miller had, where it applied to a large law firm, where the lawyer could be the witness so long as one of his partners or associates could take it over, if I recall your bill correctly.
Okay, well, to the extent that those representatives of the state bar can assist us in terms of just what the current ethical standards are, we would appreciate that input on Monday as well.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Is there any difference between representative... I'm waiting for... Representative Bunn's amendments in the nonprofit sections. Do you have any changes to the nonprofit section? The starting page 13. Could we go ahead and eliminate that as a whole section, is assuming that's completed?
I think we ought to review it.
I hate to jump ahead.
Oh.
Too far.
Just for discussion.
We're kind of at the point where the committee earlier agreed that we should try to conclude for the day in terms of our time commitment, and I think perhaps it'd be best to reserve that till Monday as well.
So we.
Is there any other business that ought to come before the full committee today before we take our adjournment motion?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay, it's been moved that we adjourn. Any objection? Not.
Now, what do we move? Take back to our office.